there's no place like home. The invention of the atomic bomb changed the geopolitical climate globally from that point forward. Once upon a time, the internet was an idea. Now it is a reality. And communication and connectivity has changed the way the world sees one another. In my most recent trip, I learned the impact of the internet on the people of Cuba. The president of Cuba declared, "We're going to have internet service in every major city in the country." Which, of course, meant the tourists were saying, "If you don't get internet, we're not coming back." So we're giving it to the people. And it meant they were able to look over the electronic prison walls and see how the rest of the world lives. And the word on the street is, there are no communists left in Cuba. Because they have seen through the lies they've been told for almost 60 years. The circumstances of change are inevitable. We don't have to like it, but change is coming. How many have gone through change already? How many of you are going through the change again? Never mind. I'm just stick to your notes, Lanny. Right. Some of you have heard this scripture out of Luke. It says, "Treat others the way you wish to be treated." Remember that one? Now that's from the New American Standard Bible, 1995. How might you say that in 2019? Well, how about tweet others the way you wish to be tweeted? I can't take credit for it, but I really liked it when I saw it. It's actually the title of a book that was sponsored by the Australian government trying to help people, particularly the older generation, become comfortable functioning on the internet. The internet has opened up a whole new world of opportunities, both very good and very evil. And so we're living in a day when we have to be more conscientious about the way we communicate with one another electronically, because the whole world has access to your thoughts. And not everything that we think should be put in print. We have an interesting dynamic working in this culture. I'd like to mention that the heart of this nation are still flag-waving, love America human beings. But we are dramatically influenced by the media, who has set themselves above the rest of us deplorables. And so in this culture in which we find ourselves, there's an even greater impetus upon those of us who have been born again to begin to demonstrate in practical ways the kingdom of heaven on earth. We have a dual citizenship. Wherever it was you were born, that culture has shaped the way you think, how you respond, how you view things. But as kingdom people, we're challenged to be able to bring into existence invisible things that God wants to put on display in the earth. We don't all have the opportunity or even the ability to operate in the same grace, because the Holy Spirit gives those graces as He wills. So we do not all serve in the same way. Aren't you grateful? We do not all see through the same point of view. We do not all have the same level of intellect. We do not all share the same cultural upbringing or the same level of education. But we do share the same Spirit. And we have a responsibility to the Lord to preserve the unity of that Spirit in the bond of peace. So there are two things about that we are responsible for. One is to recognize that we belong to one another, and the other is to preserve the relationship through peace. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul gives this exhortation. I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you that you walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another. A good way of saying showing tolerance for one another is say just putting up with one another. Because who you are today is not who you will be 5 years from now. And as long as we have broken people, any broken people here this morning? Any others? I'll hold out. It's raining. I've got nowhere to go. As long as we're receiving broken people and moving them toward health, we've got to be tolerant of one another because we're not all at the same level of spiritual maturation. Okay? But that's our journey together. So in all tolerance for one another and showing, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, there are as many ways as to attempt that as there are people who would attempt it. Because we don't all respond the same way. We don't think the same way. We don't express ourselves the same way. But in the kingdom of God, there are general principles that need to be practiced in whatever situation we find ourselves. And the one I want to address this morning is the concept of honor. I don't know if you're aware of this, but honor is on the decline in this culture. And it's a tragic thing. One of the responsibilities that we have is to do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Because once someone has been born again, there is now the resident Christ in that person. And I have a responsibility before that Christ to honor the Christ in the other. The packaging is irrelevant. It's the value in the package that matters. And that value is going to express itself in greater dimensions over time. I just have to be patient and tolerant, waiting for the package to be repackaged. And that thing is going on all the time. The inward man is perished, the outer man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. I like to tell people, this is not me. This is simply where I'm located in time and space. And when this garment of flesh no longer functions, I'll put on a new garment that will never misfunction. I'm looking forward to that because my shoulder's really bothering me. I grew up reading science fiction and seafaring tales because reading was my escape from a very challenging situation. And back in the day, I think it was mid to late 60s, Frank Herbert wrote a very popular book called Dune. Anybody ever read Dune? Anybody ever see that horrid motion picture? Oh my God, what a mess. I was so disappointed. That's one where you can say, well, the book was really better, because the book was really better. But the fact that some human being could create an entire universe with entirely different cultures and in word pictures paint that thing so clearly I could go to that universe just fascinated me. In that book, we have Lord Artrilles, and his family are on this plentiful, I mean, the planet over which they were then stewards were just, it was wet everywhere. There were waterfalls everywhere. You can imagine condensation everywhere. And then they get the opportunity in serving the emperor to take the stewardship of basically a sandy wasteland planet, which was the only source of the spice. And so as he and his entourage have arrived, they're going to be greeted by a local dignitary. Lord Atreides and his wife and his bodyguards and company are seated around the table. When the dignitary comes in, leans forward, and spits on the table. And the bodyguards jump up appalled at the insult. And his protocol officer silences them and says to the dignitary, "Thank you for sharing with us the water of life." Because on that planet, moisture was the thing of value. See, honor has to be contextualized. It's not expressed the same way in every culture that you go to, nor in every part of this country. There are things that take place in the South that are acts of honor you won't find in the Northeast. So honor is something we have to work out together. And it has to be done in such a fashion that those who are receiving it understand that they're being honored. In this most recent trip to Cuba, my team of 10 persons arrived in a certain city fairly late in the day, and we were hosted by a local pastor who fed all of us in their modest home. And given the present shortages of food and the difficulty in transportation, which was at that time almost non-existent because there's a fuel crisis there, the roads were basically deserted, they put before us what would be, in their context, a lavish meal. And at the conclusion of the meal, I called our host and his wife and those who had cooked and served with them together, and I expressed our appreciation for them. I said something along this line: I'm very much aware of the shortages that exist, and I understand the effort that has gone into preparing this feast. I know that you have done it in honor of the Lord and those he has sent to you. And so on behalf of the Lord Jesus, as his representative, I want to commend you and receive your offering in his name and speak blessing over your household, that he would reward you for the kindness you have shown him by receiving his representatives. And by then, they're all weeping. Then I made sure that my team administrator more than compensated for what they had spent preparing that meal for us. But they were showing honor to the Lord's representative in the best way they knew how in their circumstances. And such things have to be acknowledged and responded to with grace and clarity. People, you know, rise in the presence of a hoary head was not something that was quoted to me out of Leviticus. I was simply told, give your grandma that chair. Because when the gray head walked in, the youngsters had to get up. That was called good manners. I didn't know it was rooted in the scripture. Now, in Romans chapter 13, Paul says this: render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax, custom to whom custom, and honor to whom honor. It is incumbent upon us as representative of the Lord that we begin to acquire, to be intentional about assuming the grace that would attend an ambassador. Because as the Lord's representative, you don't get to do what you would like to do. You get to do what your standing in him requires of you. And that often means keep your mouth shut when you want to speak. Don't react when you'd really like to. But develop a tempered spirit so that you can hear and respond rather than react and end up apologizing. How many of you have ever had the opportunity for the leopard to leap from your mouth, and before you could capture it, you could just bite it on the tail, but the damage was already done? Yes. Those are moments you don't want to relive. Now, when Paul talks about honor, he's talking about respect and reverence and esteem. You know, God makes a big deal out of honoring your father and mother. He doesn't say honor their personalities. He does say honor their position, and he requires us to care for them throughout their lives, okay? We are to be attentive to them. Not all mothers and fathers are good mothers and fathers. Some of us are aware of that. But every father is the reason you're here, and God made a decision about the womb from which you would issue, the circumstances in which you would be raised, and the hand under which you would be either affirmed or abused. Because he sees the end from the beginning, and he knows exactly what he's trying to craft in you to be his representative in your lifetime. You don't have to like it, but that's the way it is. And when you submit to that, you can really say, He does work all things for my good according to his purposes. I would not have picked my childhood or my journey, but it has more than qualified me for the deployments I now exercise on an annual basis. And once you begin to see you in the context of God's purposes, it changes the way you think about those who affirmed you or abused you or abandoned you in any other way, because they were all the instruments of God shaping you for his purposes once you own your identity in him. Amen? You don't have to like it. How do we express honor in general principles that can be communicated into local cultures? I've had to do a lot of reading in my educational journey, and it's interesting to me the variety of ways honor is shown in different cultures. I learned some time ago that in the Philippines, the more important you are, the later you arrive to the event. It's interesting to contrast things like, how many of you have heard the phrase, time is money? Not outside this culture, it's not. You get into Cuba, there's no such thing as time is money. There's hardly any money. What we do have is time. So when does the meeting start? When everybody gets there. I learned early on, what time does a 10 o'clock service start? And I'm asking at 10:40. Well, when they get here. Okay. Because they've got nothing else to do. And getting there is an obstacle. Very, very challenging. So here are some principles I thought we might review. Some you might want to write down because they resonate with you. Others you may not like, but here we go. In a civilized culture, honor has a twofold expression. First of all, you greet respect for someone. Great respect for someone is as it is an honor to meet you. Now, I have the opportunity to say that with sincerity in a number of situations. And over time, I hear the reciprocal of that. It's an honor to meet you, sir. I've heard about you and what you're doing here. Those kind of things. The Lord establishes that, but it's good manners. And then the feeling of pride and pleasure resulting when respect is shown to you, like we're having a dinner in Robin's honor next Sunday. And she is to be honored for a decade, probably one of the hardest working people in this congregation. She's relocating to Savannah, so next week we're going to make a fuss over her. She's not with us this morning. She's ill. But we get a chance to do something that becomes memorable. And in fact, let me make this suggestion to you. You know, words come and go, but when you write them down, they stick around. So for those of you who have been touched in some significant way or have a testimony of her impact on your life, let me recommend you just make a note this week so that could be put in her treasure box when she leaves here. In expressing honor, one of the most important things, and respect every human being as made in the image of God. I don't know how many of you are following the pathology of this whole Planned Parenthood thing. But I am just appalled at some of the things that have been taking place. They have violated the law, allowing babies to be born live, to harvest their organs for sale. I can't. The evil of that strikes me so violently. When I first read it, I had a reaction, not a response. As we therefore have opportunity, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Doing good to all men comes in a variety of ways. I have a pastor and his wife who are close to me in this community. And the wife was telling me one day she was driving past San Suu, and she saw this old couple standing there looking at a map. And so she pulled to the side and asked them if they needed assistance. Well, they were trying to get down to Lexington Park from San Suu without transportation. They were well advanced in years, so she said, let me take him. So she took them to their location, waited on them. They did their business, got back in the car, and she delivered them to their home. A simple act of kindness that brought tremendous relief to two strangers. You know, we should be good at this. Part of the problem is picking up a stranger, you put your life at risk anymore. But when they're really old and you can outrun them, that's a different scenario. Put other people before ourselves according to the attitude of Christ shown in Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's a way of thinking about other people that has to be cultivated. You know, when you're careless in your thought processes, you just react to who the blowhard is. It doesn't occur to you he's blowing hard because there's a lot of pain inside. We're to see with discerning eyes, not merely to react to those who are who have been sent by God to help you discover what's resident in you. Another thing we get to do is recognize and celebrate one another's unique gifts, personality, and calling. You know, I'm amazed at the differences in the points of view of the pastors with whom I sit regularly. It's always fascinating to be in a conversation on any topic because none of them see the issue the way the other does. And they all are able to articulate something that's relevant to the issue so that by the time you're done, you have a more rounded perspective of what you're actually talking about. It's a wonderful phenomenon to take place as long as you're not married to them. And seeing things differently. Another thing that we really should practice is to highly regard one another with our words, even when we're not with them personally. One of the things that I have attempted to communicate as a general agreement among the clergy here is that we will speak well of one another always. You don't find me attacking other churches or pastors in the body of Christ. If there are those with whom I cannot comfortably fellowship, the Lord says, pray for those who despitefully use you, those who persecute you, etc. So how might you express that? Well, for me, it comes down to this. The Lord bless me, and the Lord bless thee, and the Lord bless thee far from me. I refuse to take up an offense because their point of view is inconsistent with my own. But I have to find a way to live with them in peace because all of this stuff is going to burn. You understand? All this railing against one another over misunderstandings or different theological perspectives. One day we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and Scripture promises us we will see Him as He is. We will know Him as He is. And I don't want to be in that long list of embarrassed people going, oops. I'd rather live in peace, love generously, be patient. Now, that's a guy who's almost 70 years old saying, mess it up often enough and you get tempered. Other things we might consider is to understand the challenges of others and how the Lord is processing them to maturity towards their unique calling. I have met some challenging personalities in my life and have had the opportunity years later to bump into them again, and guess what? They changed. You know, it's funny to me when people come back after years of being away from this community and tell me how I've changed. Never seemed to occur to them, perhaps they're seeing more clearly than the last time we met. Knowing a person's context helps us honor them properly. Knowing a person's context, that is their journey, the stuff they've had to endure. You know, we have some pain-filled testimonies in this house that has helped create the diversity that exists in this house. Occasionally, we'll get a Brian Dickerson in here who had a good mother and a good father. Not all of us have that testimony. But understanding that place from which another comes helps us understand how to relate to them. Defer to one another and make room for one another's gift. You know, I have run into a number of people over the years who left churches or were driven out of churches because the senior leader would not make room for their grace. And much of that I have discovered in my years of hanging around with clergy is their personal insecurity. Now, not all of it. Some people are just obnoxious. And since they won't come under rule, they don't get reshaped. One of the things you've got to do is commit yourself to some place long enough for who you are to be transformed into what God had in mind. But if you keep rolling around like a bramble bush from church to church, there was this cartoon of an older man and woman in the church lobby. They were about this tall and they had these huge frog legs. "We're just visiting because we're church hoppers." There's a dramatic difference in the life of a person who will submit to the discipline of oversight. Because sometimes you need to be corrected. Other times you need to be affirmed. All of us desire to be approved. But you can't be approved successfully until you have been reproved in the journey. And orphans, when you reprove them, they fight you or they run away from you. Jealousy is the opposite of the spirit of honor because it breeds insecurity and limits your ability to accept a person's calling, ability, and place in the kingdom. Do you know why you hear me say, there's no mess you can make the Holy Spirit and I can't clean up? It's because I know you're going to mess up. Because nobody gets it right the first time. We're in a journey of discovery together, not just discovering ourselves, but discovering who we are together, discovering who the Lord is in greater measures. And that's a messy process. You know, if you're going to have birth, you have to deal with the afterbirth. They come together. And so I hope it provides a certain sense of security for you to know it's okay for you to be human here. It's okay to start out broken. But I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to change you. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It only took a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. And it won't stop in this life. But we will bring forth his life every time we give him the opportunity to take his little chisel and his little hammer. You know, he doesn't use the big one. He uses the little one because he loves us. Now, what about this? Recognize the true value of each person's contributions and speak to them and to others. You know, tell them you appreciate them. You know, I don't know any worship leaders like Pete Romano.
Hallelujah!
Well, he can do that. I can't. I don't know any like Lee. No, there's a diversity that's of value. Not everybody responds well to Pete's worship. Some people prefer Lee's worship. That's okay. This is not a popularity contest. This is about letting people operate in their grace and gifting. You know, not every administrator makes a good servant. And I don't know of any servants who make good administrators because they'd just rather do it themselves. But making place for all that gives people the opportunity to express the grace that is theirs. And if they do it clumsily, what do? Well, we speak correction to it. Have you considered this perhaps as an alternative to that? Growing people up, not throwing people away, building the church, not tearing it down, is a part of what we should be about. Giving a person monetary gifts or public praise and recognition equal to the quality, sacrifice, and kind of work they've accomplished. How many of you know that it's a big deal to somebody to have their picture on the wall at McDonald's and have the employee of the month parking lot? It seems like a small thing unless you're the one being recognized. Because these little acts help affirm a person. It gives them the sense that I have greater value than I thought, or I can achieve, I can perform, I can do something. Do all we can through our prayers and acts of kindness and teamwork to aid those around us to accomplish their calling in the kingdom. I am more interested in your success and your adventure in the Lord than anything I will ever do, because you are important to Him, and therefore you are important to me. And He has a design for you that I want to see fulfilled. You will hear me say, many of you have heard me say this, I'm looking forward to seeing the whole you, the restored you, the one who is no longer imprisoned in their thinking, the one who has found a greater clarity in the things of God, the one who steps up in confidence saying, when you have seen me, you have seen my Father. I have that in my heart for each one of us, because that's the Father's desire over us. And I agree with him that you're that good. That possibility is real. His grace is sufficient. We can get there. I believe in you because I believe in him who is in you. So just hold on. It's coming. We need to use our gifts to serve and protect one another. You know, I'm often in a place where I have to say to someone, Jay, would you jump up here for a minute, son? I need a visual illustration, and you'll do. I often have to say to someone when they're entertaining, but what if I fail? Or what if people misunderstand? What if I can't do it? I say, do you see where you are? I've always got you covered, all right? If they're going to come at you, they're going to come through me because I authorize you to do this. So it's not on you. If you mess it up, it's on me because I authorized you to do it. Now, you and I may talk privately, but publicly, I've got you covered. Thank you, Jay. We've got to build an atmosphere where people feel safe to go at risk with the Lord. I would do the same thing in my military service to try to encourage people to be more than they were, to speak words of correction to them when they were out of line and show them an alternative way so that they could move forward in their career. This atmosphere of serving and protecting one another ought to be how we express honor to those around us. See, husbands love their wife and overlook their weaknesses and commit themselves to their spouse's success. How many of you wish that was the standard? One of the attributes of broken people is their willingness to point out the brokenness in others to make themselves look better in their own eyes. And in that, we often contribute to greater brokenness in the other. Love is not like that. Eros is like that. But agape is not like that. To see wives respect their husbands in spite of their shortcomings, release them to love and protect and provide for them and their family. I had a couple in the church years ago who were in different places in their spiritual maturity. And the wife was committed to her husband's oversight of her life. And she would put herself in a position where he was forced to pray for her. And on a certain occasion, he said, I feel like my prayers are just running off of my chin. So she knelt down below him and said, well, put your chin over me and pray. She was encouraging him to be the head of his household spiritually. And it was a tremendous success over time. They are equally yoked at this point in life. But our learning together as a husband and wife is one of the most challenging things I can think of, because I'm persuaded to the reality that your spouse is sent by God to expose that which is honorable in you and that which desperately needs to be changed in you. Thank you, honey. Rumor has it you're doing a good job. Trust a person's word. Through this, we give them honor and respect. You know, trusting a person's word is a real challenge, because I've discovered that my understanding of their vocabulary and their understanding of the vocabulary can be dramatically different. I remember a certain occasion many, many years ago. We had a woman among us who had escaped the foster care system and lived on the streets, prostituting her body to buy the drugs that dominated her life prior to Christ. And as she began her process of healing, she came to me one day and she said, "I want you to know I am committed to this church." And I suppose, as an inspired thought, I don't know why else I would have asked, I said, "Well, what does committed to this church mean?" She said, "I won't pack my bags and leave in the middle of the night." Now, on my scale of commitment, that particular expression wouldn't have made the list. But out of her context, to not run away was a huge thing in her life. Do you understand? So taking people at their word requires a certain measure of communication and patience, because they may be in a different place than you on that same language. Consequently, it's very important that we keep our word to a person. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it when I forget to do something I said I would do. I've taken to making lists now, electronic lists, because I can't remember where I put the paper the list was on, but I have the electronic device with me. And in this, we show them honor and respect. Now, these principles can get translated into any culture, because these things are of value to every human being, but they will manifest themselves differently in other cultures. Somebody, and I don't know who, probably Hallmark, decided that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Did you all buy your Hallmark card? I certainly hope not. Why pay $4.95 when you get an identical card at the dollar store? And all the Ramsey graduates said amen? Okay, good, 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 good. But the idea of Mother's Day and Father's Day and now Uncle's Day and Son's Day and National Daughter's Day and National Son's Day, and I think every day is now National Something. These are little reminders to us that we should be showing appreciation every day, that there should be something for which we're grateful all the time. You know, as Red Skelton aged, he said if he woke up in the morning and did not smell incense and see candles, he figured it was a good day. We've already mentioned Robin's departure next week, and that's a big deal. It's a really big deal. She is a lovely, lovely human being. But we also have Pastor Barbara and Daniel, who have committed themselves to helping us raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I know some of your children. They have a challenging task in helping you, but they're gifted for it, and their motivation is love. And I deeply, deeply respect what they represent to the body of Christ here and through them to future generations. I was sitting with a friend yesterday whose 90-something-year-old mother taught choral groups in the church for years. And today, a good many of those she trained when they were youngsters still call her. Some actually come from Texas to visit her in Illinois because of the impact she had on their life. Teachers are some of the most influential people in our children's lives. And those who can help them connect in a living way with the living God are to be prized and valued. One of the reasons I'm committed to corporate raising of children is because when we share the same values, and it's been proven in my own household, you get to say what my children won't hear me say, but you say the same thing I'm saying, so now they'll hear it from you. Thank you, Mary, Keith, Brian, Marilyn, and others who invested in my children to make them the men they are today. It's easy to get lost in the weeds of raising small children. I watch some of you mothers come in from time to time, and you're clearly frazzled. I like the imagery of the Asian teacher who would bow as each student entered his classroom. And when asked why has he done that, and he says, "You never know who you're standing before until you see what they become." So I honor them now so they will remember then they were honored. I think that's a wonderful attitude. We also have Pastor Jay and Katie standing up in their grace and embracing the challenges of moving from among us to those who will now lead us. That is no small transition. I remember when I became the pastor, I was one of us, then the next day I was the pastor, and suddenly people didn't call to get together. They called because they wanted something. And it was a huge, huge emotional transition for me. The grace of God attending these two is pretty much manifest to all of us. And the awakening that's happening in each of them through their responsibility before God for this household is a weight that is settling in. And it is no small thing. You know, you get to go home. We're never off the clock. You're in my heart when I lay down. And when I rise, and often in the night. What do I do, Lord? How do I help them? You're never off duty. Those of you who leave the office at 5, I envy you. You get to go home and be home. I'm looking forward to 2021, kinda. Because I don't yet know what it will feel like to not carry this backpack. But I'm curious enough to want to get there and see. You know, this particular location in this community brings to us an extraordinary array of people from all over the cotton-picking world. Do you know that? And occasionally, that's a gift that sticks, like Pastor Steve and Kim. Don't you just love those two? I'm telling you. They've committed themselves to our Father's house because basically we've ruined them. They can't go back to what they knew. And they don't know enough to go on their own, so they decided to stick around and let us reshape them. And they are just the dearest, dearest of people. If you don't know them, you should. I say with genuine enthusiasm to those when I mention them, they are completely without guile. They have a freshness in the Lord that's contagious. They love people. They're hospitable. I could just go on and on, but then they're already blushing. So, they are a delight to my heart, as far as I'm concerned, a treasure from heaven to us. And I don't want to overlook, nor should you, our support staff. Those of you who have walked with me for some length of time are fully aware of Tim's skill and service to us as a man gifted as an administrator. But he is also one of the finest Christian men I've ever met. And his character was put on display in dramatic ways since last November in the loss of his wife and the journey he's gone through. And then Ruth Garcia, who is severely undertasked. Thank you, son, for noticing. The woman has more capacity than we can presently use in the office. She is just an extraordinarily gifted woman as our finance manager, and someone whom I've known since she was a single gal. She's now a grandmother. Valerie was with us back in the dark ages, back when we were having babies. Then she and Danny returned, oh gosh, help me out here, 14 years ago? 15 years ago. They've been back for 15 years. The thing I enjoy so much about our support staff is how much they enjoy working together. I know that there are those of you who have work environments that, well, on a bad day, you wish somebody would go on to their reward. I understand. But you're the light in that darkness, I remind you. But our support staff genuinely enjoy one another. They don't work by the clock. They work by mission and calling. And they know if I need them at midnight, they'll be there. I just can't say enough good about them. They're just wonderful human beings, delightful Christians, and they enjoy serving you. A lot of things happen around here because of them. So on a Pastor Appreciation Day, let's just generally be appreciative for the people God has tagged us to, because they are an extraordinary bunch of people. You know, I know where some of you came from. I hardly recognize you today. God has done a work in you. And if there's anyone who deserves appreciation today, it's those of you who were with me 30 years ago. For you newcomers, this is the best presentation of me there's ever been, in large part due to them. Now, I'm going to ask this last thing of you. There are some extraordinary men and women around here who have walked the walk, some of us longer than you've been alive. And I would give you this admonition from the book of Hebrews. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. You know, there's a process in the scripture where Paul says, come follow me as I follow Christ. That is, let me be your model until you can come up alongside of me in your own. And then he says, imitate God. In this journey together, you really do need to find someone you can walk with who knows more about the Lord than you do. And let them mentor you until you stand alongside of them in your own maturity, while the two of you take somebody else until they can stand alongside. You see, there really is this issue of mentoring. Some people call it discipleship, but growing up together is the journey, and we're on that journey together, and I'm delighted to be sharing it with each one of you. So I think we'll stop now. Brian, are you representing? Who's doing what? Keith is doing something. I'm going to get out of the way and let Keith say whatever he needs to say. And when he's done with whatever it is he's going to do, I invite you to just enjoy one another and express yourself to those that we're honoring today.
Audio check. There we go.
Hello, hello. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. This is a day that I feel incredibly honored to be standing in this spot. Thank you, Tim, wherever you are, for asking us to do this. Our hearts to honor our pastors. I think Lanny said it well when he said, I know who you used to be. And I'm here to tell you, we are who we are today because of our pastors. We are deeply grateful that the Lord gave us our father's house in 1988. The first Sunday we were here, we ended up here. And we have been under our father's care since that time. It's my delight this morning to honor Robin. I hope you're streaming live, Robin, and I pray that you feel better. Robin has been with us a decade. And in that decade, she has brought a goodness. She has brought a mentoring. She has brought diversity. She has brought a spirit of determination before the Lord that I truly hope that I grow up and have. This woman is a prayer warrior, and she has undergirded this body for a decade of prayer. She brought Riversong to us. That was a way for us to reach out to the community in a way we had never had influence before. She has not only carried it, but brought it to a place of thriving, and she too has done an amazing job of preparing her successor. So in great gratitude, Robin, we are so thankful for you and blessed and honored for you to have been with us. And we wish you all the goodness of God in the future.
She did one. I'm going to do one. She did one. Okay. She did one. I'm going to do one. That's how we're going to roll with this. If you have not seen them face to face, well, kind of face to face, or online, I would recommend that you pull up Michelangelo's The Prisoners. It is a collection of sculptures that Michelangelo was working on, but never fully completed. The background of The Prisoners is that Michelangelo could see the finished work in a raw piece of granite or marble, and he would begin to chip away to reveal the beauty of what's there. And so The Prisoners represent the unfinished work, but you can begin to see the shapes, and you can begin to see the forms, and so on. I'm here today to share that vision concerning Daniel and Barbara. They are the preparers and the protectors of our unfinished works that are in work. And they are working to chip away at the unfinished work in our children, our youth, our adolescents. And we will one day see the result. We won't see it right away, but we will one day see that result. I've experienced firsthand that Daniel is a fierce protector of our children. He's also a preparer. He's preparing them by planting in them the word of the Lord, love of the Lord Jesus, love of one another, and right thinking, so that when they run into their periods of insanity, they will have an anchor that is beneath all of the madness, and they will come out the other side as a finished work.
Jay and Katie, How blessed are we? How blessed are we to have this man and this woman, Jay and Katie, stepping into the helm of our Father's house? How long have I known you? 15 years. So really, Jay was a very young man when he came here. I knew some time before, I don't know if it was before you knew, but that Jay would be our next pastor. The Lord revealed it to me, and I began praying in that season. The beauty, the grace, the determination, the power, the kindness, the mercy that you two carry for this body. I have personally experienced Jay's leadership in the last 6 months with the loss of our grandson and some other events, where his response was that of a very seasoned pastor. Thank you for that, Pastor Clark. We are in good hands, y'all. Our future is solid. It is solid. We are in a wonderful lane of care and insight and wisdom and revelation. And Jay's relationship with Jesus is deep and wide. I thank God for you both, and I honor you both this morning. Thank you.
I shared this recently with someone of reasonable importance, and I just wanted to share it with you because I think it brings to the point. The words are too many, and the time is too short to be able to describe all that Lanny has brought to my life individually, to our lives as a family, and now our extended family. And by extension, you. I look around the room and I see those of you who are friends, with whom we've walked, with those whom we've had to reconcile, with those whom we've raised and are watching the glory of the Lord. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. And the reason I share that is because Lanny, in like manner to Noah, has prepared an ark in this place, on this property, being warned of God on our behalf for the things to come, to find and make a safe place, a refuge, so that the storms of life, the floods of life, the difficulties of life don't destroy us and we are protected from it. So with that, that creates what has been the foundation of this house. And with that, we honor you and love you so much. Not only are the words too many and the time and space too little, also we find the trustees in a place where we are in a place where we wish we could do more to provide the kind of honor that is due to all of you. But what we have are tokens of our appreciation, notes of affection and love, and we want to extend those to you to go do something fun. Just have a good time with it. And with that, we bless you, and we ask, would you all rise and give our pastors some applause for the Lord.
Well, on behalf of all the staff, I thank you. And I wanted to acknowledge a shortcoming on my part. Is Jessica here today? She's not here. But those of you who are enjoying the upgrade in our telecommunications, Jessica Chase, Mary's Keith's daughter, is the one who's primarily responsible for this entire upgrade. And she is just ever ready to offer her counsel and assistance to us. And I was negligent in not mentioning her. But when you see her, let her know you appreciate the effort she's doing, because she's really moving us into the 23rd century.
All right, so with that, I want to release you and to go enjoy one another, enjoy the day, stay inside, watch a movie. You know what that means for watching a movie? It means take a nap in the middle of the movie. Watch the beginning credits and the ending credits. So with that, I commend you to God and to the power of the Holy Spirit, which can shape you, form you, and transform you in the name of Jesus. Amen.